do your job.
Dad, like it's your job.
Do your job!
With Chris Zito.
Do your job.
He's a dad, a radio host, a father, a speaker, dad, an actor, a dad, a comedian, a dad, a husband, a dad, and, well, a dad.
Greetings, faithful listener. It is I, your illustrious host. If you're a regular listener to this pod, you'll know I always refer to myself as an illustrious host because no one else will. Listen, my guest this week, Paul Sullivan, runs a company and a website called Company of Dads. This guy is accomplished. He is a real expert, and he's a terrific dad. You know that that is a common thread with all of my guests, or with almost all of my guests. I have had a mom on this pod, and I'm looking for more moms. But he's going to talk to us about what it means to be a lead dad, what that means. But, I mean, this guy is an author. He's written two books, Clutch, Why Some People Excel Under Pressure and Others Don't, and The Thin Green Line, The Money Secrets of the Super Wealthy. He wrote a column for the New York Times for years. He also created a column for Golf Magazine. He is, by his own admission, an obsessive golfer. He was telling me when we weren't recording in a separate conversation, he was telling me that two of his three daughters golf with him. So, because he doesn't want to leave his kids, he's a very devoted father. And so he has them out there and they love it. Well, I mean, he finds ways to connect with his children and, I think you're going to love this. I love this idea of lead dad and what it means. Paul has a great way of explaining it. And like I said, his website, companyofdads.com, you have to check it out. But in the meantime, here's my conversation with Paul Sullivan. Paul Sullivan, thanks for doing this with me today.
Chris, I appreciate you asking me.
This is a big deal because, you know, I was looking at your website, companyofdads.com. You got the great credentials. But the credentials we're concerned with on this podcast are your dad credentials. Tell us about who you've got, how old they are, what do you got?
I don't want to brag here, but I got some serious dad credentials, okay?
Okay.
I got three daughters. Three daughters, three dogs, three cats. And I think three fish, but you can never tell if they're alive or dead. But my daughters are 6, 11, and 14. And you know what my lucky number is, Chris?
What?
5. It's not 3.
So no kidding.
Everything's in 3.
Yeah. Everything's in
3. I'm not having 5 of anything.
Now, let me ask you this. First. You have a wife. You have three daughters. What gender are the dogs and cats? Are there any males in the house besides you?
The only male is a miniature schnauzer. So if people know dogs, it's a little like 20-pound dog.
Yeah.
And he has the ultimate Napoleon complex. And he's like, and his sister dogs are both Bernie Doodles. So they're quite large dogs,
yeah,
like 85, 90-pound dogs.
Sure.
And one of them will get so infuriated by him just yapping that she'll sit on him. Which is just crushing. If you have a Napoleon complex and you get sat on, and he's nothing he can do.
Miniature schnauzer. I mean, that's too bad. It must be humiliating for him. So
he's got a lot of heart. He's got a lot of heart. He doesn't give up.
God bless him. So, all right. Well, so clearly you've got a lot of dad credentials. You've got those three beautiful daughters and you've got all the fur babies. So you got your hands full. Now, you refer to yourself as a lead dad. I was looking at your site and obviously we want to send everybody to companyofdads.com. Can you explain to my listeners what that means? What's a lead dad?
Yeah. A lead dad is the go-to parent, whether he works full-time, part-time, or devotes all of his time to his family, and in many cases is there to support his wife at home and is an ally for working moms in the office.
I see.
And so we use that term lead dad, and we use the term, you know, go-to parent intentionally because he's not the primary parent. Because if you have a primary parent, then you have to have a secondary parent. He's the go-to parent. He's handling all the logistics of life. He's very supportive. And then we also say in many cases, he's supporting his wife or partner at home because we know that 18% of fathers in the United States are divorced, widowed, or otherwise single, but they are by, you know, definition, lead dads at least 50% of the time, if not more.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that happened to me. We were talking before we started recording about how, you know, I've got these two divorces, ended up with custody both times. And I mentioned this in my talk, Dad, Like It's Your Job. I tell this story about the first time it happened and how I had a 14-year-old son that came to live with me the summer before he started high school. I actually reached out to female friends to say, like, well, how do I make my little duplex here look more like a home? because I was, for a little while, I was just living there by myself. So I learned about window treatments. I learned about bed skirts. You know what I mean? It's like I had.
You learn about a vacuum and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, I knew how to vacuum. I knew how to keep the place clean, but like I had like this one female friend came over. She was actually an interior designer. And she was like, you know, you don't need to see like the metal frame under this bed. You know, it could look a lot better if you put this thing called a dust ruffle on them. I'm like, I don't know what that is. She said, well, that's okay. I'm going to teach you what it is. So that kind of stuff really helped me. Those little things. I feel like that made a big difference in our house because I didn't want my son moving into a bachelor pad. Not like I was some swinging bachelor. I wasn't exactly beating him back with sticks or anything, but I wanted it to feel like a home, you know?
I love that story. And it reminds me of in my first book was called Clutch, Why Some People Excel in Oppression, Others Don't. I interviewed this then pretty famous attorney named David Boyce. He did that U.S. versus Microsoft, Bush v. Gore. And he was married and divorced several times, and he went the opposite. He had a house in Armonk, New York, which had nothing in it. It was like risky business all the time. Like they had like a pool table and like air hockey, and then they were playing actual hockey in that. So he went the other.
Mean,
so kudos to you for stepping up.
All right. Well, so yeah, that makes me feel good. I feel good about my choices there. I really do. Now, the other thing I noticed when I was reading about lead dads and you said, don't call me Mr. Mom. Now, I love that movie, but I know that that Michael Keaton's character had no idea how to manage a household. You know, I mean, the guy didn't even know how to use a washer and dryer, for heaven's sake.
You know, one of the things we try to do at the Company of Dads is normalize the role of a man being the go-to parent. And so terms like Mr. Mom, house husband, men who are called retired because they're helping out their wives, they're pejorative. And they keep men from wanting to really step forward. And so the story I tell for that, you know, the majority of my time at the New York Times, I was a lead dad. We live in Southern Connecticut now. As I said to you, I grew up in Western Massachusetts. And I didn't go around my town saying Paul Sullivan lead dad. I went around saying, you know, Paul Sullivan, New York Times columnist, blah, 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 or author of XYZ book. And that was as much about me as it was about the environment in which I lived, in which most of the caregiving, visual caregiving, was being done by moms or paid caregivers. And then, you know, any number of things that happened during COVID, where I got this idea for the Company of Dads, you know, we do media, community, workplace education. We work a lot with companies. When I got the idea, I said, we have to come up with a term that is positive. We have to come up with a term that is positive and proactive that men are going to want to attach to themselves. And that's how we came up with the term, you know, lead dads. And one of the stories I tell that I'm, you know, most proud of is that using this term lead dads, we've been able to bring men together who otherwise wouldn't have anything in common. And I tell the story of a guy who's on our board named Najee Good. He played for the Philadelphia Eagles, won a Super Bowl against his team called the New England Patriots and sacked some guy named Tom Brady. I don't follow football too much.
You know, I'm not sure why you would bring that up. We were having such a nice conversation.
Well, but let me tell you about Najee and why he and Tom, he sacked lots of people. He was played 10 years in the NFL. He sacked all kinds of people. But I'm trying to bring it home to Massachusetts.
All
like,
right,
come
I'm
on.
Right.
You know?
I'm with you. I'm with
the
you.
The great one, the GOAT. You know, but he is a single lead dad of two girls, lives outside of Jacksonville, Florida. We get him on there, which is, you know, normal guys, they know that Najee's bigger and stronger than them, but they talk to Najee not as a fan, not as, tell me about, you know, XYZ game in 2020. They say, you know, let's share stories about being lead dads. And so that's why, and he's introduced me a bunch of his retired NFL friends. That's why it's been so positive, because it's something that you can identify with. Whereas before, one of your buddies calls you Mr. Mom, you know, it's kind of calling into credentials. You're, you know, calling a question your parenting credentials. I mean, except for carrying a child for 9 months and giving birth, and if you so choose, breastfeeding, women and men can do pretty much everything. You know, these roles are not gendered anymore. We have these sort of stereotypes in our mind, but they're not gendered. Anybody can take a kid to school. Anybody can go to the dentist. Anybody can, you know, sit down paying attention and answer the questions that a 14-year-old has when he moves into your duplex and wondering, why, Dad, do you have a dust ruffle? You can answer that question.
Well, and you know, I have a lot of experience with that. You know, as I was the
With dust ruffles? With dust ruffles?
Now I do. But I have a lot of experience with, like, being the one that takes the kid around and does all that stuff. Because, you know, my second marriage, even before it ended, that was happening. I was the go-to. It's interesting. You say that you weren't introducing yourself as a lead dad. You were introducing yourself as a columnist. And that's such a to me, such a guy thing. Like people 100%. Say, what are you? Well, I am my job. This is my job. I'm a morning show host. I'm a morning radio host. I'm a comedian. But the other thing that strikes me, and this is what fascinates me and why I wanted to talk to you about this, because I had the experience in my first marriage, the same thing. Because of my schedule, I was available to coach a lot. I was available to volunteer at school because their mom had a full-time job that she didn't, you know, so I was off around midday, early afternoon. But I had the experience back then. Now, this is a few decades ago, and I wanted to see if it's gotten any better or any different. I would volunteer at school, and I was the only dad. And it was hard to feel included. In fact, it was very easy to feel excluded. It was something where the moms kind of looked at me like, "What is this guy unemployed or what's his deal?" You know, have you had that experience?
Scariest place for a dad in America is the playground. You show up at that playground,
right?
And you're like, I'm just here with my kids. I'm here with my son. I'm here with my daughter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody looks at you like, do you have a kid here?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, go stand next to your child because otherwise you're creepy.
Right.
And, you know, and I've said this often. It's like, you know, how do you break through? Because you're all there as parents. You know, you're not there as some creep. You want your kids to have a good experience. You want your kids to play. You want them to have fun. You want them to make friends. And yet there is this barrier. You know, I tell the story of this fellow, Dr. Ramon Jacob Shaw. Doctor in Connecticut, incredibly well educated guy, Massachusetts, Connecticut connection, Harvard trained doctor, moves to town. He's a married gay dad with twins, goes to the playground, and this woman comes up to him and says, you know, doctor, I don't know how to ask this of you, but which one of you is the mom? And he says, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, I'm a dad, he's a dad, we're both dads. And she's like, I'm sorry. I'm really embarrassed. And we just have this group called the, you know, name of the town, Mom's Group on Facebook. And I want to know if you want to be a part of it. He's like, I'm a dad. He's a dad. And I called him, and you're talking about this story. And I said, Dr. Ramon, you're a really smart guy. You went to Harvard Medical School. You're about as smart as they come. You're double board certified. You have a better shot of getting into Harvard Medical School than you do getting into that Facebook Mom's Group. Okay, just want to like lay it out for you.
Really? 100%. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And I said, look, buddy, that Facebook Moms Group is the keeper of all pertinent information you need. When does the tryout start?
Right.
When is the ballet? You want to buy like some used ice skates?
Yep.
It's all there. Here's what you say. What am I going to do? Here's what you do. You're going to go back to her and you're going to make her feel horrible. Make that mom feel absolutely awful and say, I can't believe you said this about me. Mm-hmm. I should be included in the Facebook group. And he said, will it work? I said, of course it'll work. Shame is a powerful emotion. Shame will work. Shame her into this. And it works. And not only does it work, but they then renamed the group, the name of the town, Parents Group on Facebook. And
that's fantastic.
And this is like, it's fantastic. And he's like, it worked. I was like, of course it's going to work. And like, but this is, we still are stuck in these old stereotypes where dad does this, mom does this. And so if you're going to have anything that is around caregiving, whether you have sons or daughters, it's going to be directed at moms. But that's ridiculous. You know, schools create this problem. Doctors' offices create this problem. Don't even get me talking about my daughter's dentist. I mean, they create these problems for no reason other than all you have to do is say, like, who is the person to call? Who is the go-to parent here?
Yeah, that's so amazing. Even when I started this project, before the podcast, I started working on the, you know, trying to transition out of stand-up into a speaking career and wanted to talk to dads. So I just started Googling. I Googled parenting experts. And everything that came up was moms. Mom. When I put in parenting, I had to specifically put in fathering to find fathering stuff. And I was able to find it. I had to dig a little deeper. So I am up against it because technologically I screwed this up and we started late. So now I'm up against another thing. But I have something really important that I wanted to talk to you about. Because if you have, like if you're a columnist and you make your own schedule, right? Or you're working from home and you're able to become a lead dad like that. You're married to a woman with a demanding career. What can you suggest for dads who have a demanding career and they're married to a woman with a demanding career? How can they maybe not become the lead dad, but how can they take a larger role in the home life and with their kids and with their family? How do you see something like that?
Yeah, the short answer is at work, they need to parent loudly. What does that mean? You know, I launched a company, Dad, in February of 2022. Was everything that we're doing necessary before COVID? 100%. Would I ever have left my role at the New York Times back then? No way. Even though it was needed. COVID was a reset in the way people yes. work and live. I live in a town that's 35 miles from New York City. That commuter parking lot emptied out overnight. Suddenly, you know, I could get a parking permit, whatever. But fathers have learned that, and companies have learned that people can still be wildly productive in most roles, not all roles, but in a lot of roles by working a sort of hybrid schedule. And so if you're the person who is being managed, you show to your manager how wildly productive you can be, how organized you are at home. So there's never you're never called into question as a dad for leaving early, for saying, hey, I've got to go to this appointment, or hey, I don't need to go to this appointment. My daughter's having a tough time. I got to just go take her for ice cream for an hour, and then, then I'll be back.
And then I'll be back.
And the flip side, if you're a manager, realize that the time has changed. Like, so many managers suffer from what we in economics call confirmation bias. I got to this stage in my life by doing 1, 2, 3, and 4. Therefore, you should do the same thing. And of course, it's not true, because the environment in which you're going to succeed today is way different than however that person succeeded. So leave that at the door and start asking, you know, the types of questions that allow you to sort of measure somebody's output, not measuring their time in the office. And we talk about this all the time on the workplace education side of the company, Dad. This is actually a benefit for companies. This is a retention benefit for companies, because when you have moms and dads and they feel like they're not being, somebody's not looking over their shoulder all the time, they feel like they can go and be part of their children's lives, they're going to stay. You know, they're not going to leave if a similar company offers them 3% more, 5% more. Now, if the company offers them 45% more, everybody would leave for that.
I would take that. Do you have a lead on that? Too. Do you have a lead on that? Can we?
Okay. Yeah, I got a lead. Offline. We'll do that offline.
Yeah, another podcast.
but it's a retention benefit, because it's like the people say, okay, this company really cares about what we're doing. This company has realized that the world of work has changed tremendously from, you know, 2019. To today. And so when you parent loudly, you're both creating allies among other parents at work, or if you're a manager, you're showing that you really do understand that people have responsibilities outside of the workplace, outside of doing their jobs.
Yeah, it's such a good answer. You know, the subtitle of this pod is provide for your family and still be a part of your family. And what you were just talking about, I literally say in my talk that most companies understand they are not going to be able to recruit and grow and keep talent if they ask you to put that job before your children. You have to be able to understand everybody's priorities. So that's so important.
There are all kinds of statistics about this. Like, having a hybrid work environment is worth tens and tens of thousands of dollars to employees in terms of like a raise. But the flip side of that is, if you ask, the study came out a couple weeks ago, if you ask somebody, would you rather have $10,000 more in pay every year, or would you rather have a $10,000 subsidy or credit for childcare that will help you find? Parents always pick the childcare subsidy. They always pick it, because then, like, and what does that do? That's aligning that company with their employees' goals in life. It's super powerful, and it helps companies retain people.
Well, companyofdads.com is your website. I want to make sure to send everybody there, because I spent some time there and I was really fed by it. And I love this conversation. I feel like you and I are really on the same wavelength with a lot of stuff. Although I'm not a golfer, I did notice on your bio that you're an obsessive golfer. So, good luck. What's your handicap?
6.
Holy cow, you are an obsessive golfer. The only way to get to a 6 is to play a lot.
Well, fortunately, 2 of my 3 daughters
also play
golf with me.
And of course, I don't know why they do, because if you want to be a good dad and spend time with your kids and you love to golf, you have to teach them to golf.
You have to live with you. You can't leave them.
You see the guys on the golf course alone with their buddies, and you think, I don't think this guy likes his family. He's out here every weekend for 5 hours.
Exactly. You're like, No. I'm going to be a great dad for 6 months of the year when it's cold. But in the nice weather, you can't expect me to
see
not
you later.
Do that.
Yeah.
I'll be back. You'll miss me. It'll be more. No, they come with me. They love it.
That's fantastic. Well, Paul Sullivan, I'm thrilled to meet you. I appreciate you taking the time. Sorry I was late. I beat myself up, but I don't do late. It's not for me. So I'm glad we were able to get this in.
I'm going to write it in my notebook, the day Chris Zito did late. And I'm going to have a little star on it in my calendar. No, Chris, thank you so much for having me on today.
All right, man.
I've enjoyed the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Sullivan, good guy, good dad. I hope that was helpful for all the dads out there. Even if you do have a busy job or a demanding job or a demanding career and you're married to a woman with a demanding career, I hope that this conversation will lead you to that website, companyofdads.com, and will help you to maybe be engaged with your kids and in your family life more than maybe you have been before. Because I can tell you, there is nothing more rewarding. That is always the message of this pod. Don't forget to check out my website, chriszitospeaks.com, if you're interested in having me speak to your organization. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. I'm really good at this. See, this is just like me calling myself an illustrious host. I tell you that I'm really good at this because there's nobody else telling you that. Anyway, I think in the meantime, we all get on with the rest of our day. Thanks for listening. Tell your pals.